New Year's Eve in the kingdom of heaven. What's it going to look like? Well, this is we're on the coming up of a new age dawning. Amen. It is a time of renewal. It's a time of refreshing. It's a time of reflecting of where we were last year, where we were, what we did, and then how to move forward from that point. You know, who here failed last year? Ooh, I got both hands up. We have all come short of the glory of God. And I personally know that this next year I want to do better than I did last year. That means I need to look very, very intently at my life. I need to understand who I am in Christ, how God loves me even though I fail. Because guess what? This next year, I'm going to mess up again. Amen. I will come short of the glory of God again this year. Until this body is cast away, it will always come up short of where we need to be. Oh, but thank God. Praise be to God that we have a Redeemer. We have one who loves us. He knows while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. We know that we serve a risen Savior and that He was tempted in every way, just like us. And yet He was without sin. And now He's seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. Praise God. Praise God for that. This is a new year. Last year will soon be gone. Amen. And looking on to what God is doing, we must not get caught up in our failings of last year or the victory of last year. Amen. You know, the best meal you had last year, guess what? It's come and gone. Amen. Right? The best food I ate last year, I ate it, I enjoyed it. Next day, it was gone. Right? The worst meal I ate last year, I ate it, and it's gone. Right? It comes and it goes. So the very best thing that I did for the Lord last year is gone. The very worst thing that I did for the Lord last year is gone. Amen? All that stuff is gone. We don't have to worry about it no more. Now we move forward into the glorious dawning of a new year. I'm very excited about that and about what God is doing. And I will not be in our normal text. I'm going to preach like it's Sunday morning. Amen? To all five of us. Amen? I'm going to preach like it's Sunday morning. And we need to lift those folks up who aren't here tonight. You know, they're going to miss something, but that's okay. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get into the Word. Father, I thank You for the newness of life. Father, I thank You for a time that we celebrate a turning of a leaf, a going from last year's deadness into the newness of life, expecting You, Lord Jesus, to do great and marvelous works this year. Father, we are anticipating Your movement, Father, so that we can move along with You. And so, Lord, as we lay aside those things that so easily stumbled us last year, and we grab a hold of the garment of Jesus Christ this year for a new healing, a new anointing, a new fresh day coming upon us, Father, we relax in You, but are very excited about You. And so, Lord, we thank You and we praise You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And so in Romans chapter 6, and if you read chapter 6 throughout, it's all talking about the next thing. It's talking about moving forward. It says, starting in verse 4, well, actually, let's start in verse 2. But my script is going to come from verse 4. God forbid, how shall we that are dead in sin live anymore therein? Did you hear what He said? God forbid. If you are alive in Christ, why do you live in sin anymore? The old is supposed to be dead. Amen. That's what He's talking about here. The old life of sin and debauchery is supposed to be gone. Those things from yesteryear are supposed to be dead and gone. Why live any longer therein? Why live in the condemnation of last year when you got a new year to look forward to? Amen. Why live in the condemnation of yesterday when you have a tomorrow to look forward to? He says in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death. And like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Amen? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight, is walking in the newness of life. Because as we, how many times have I said it already? Yesterday is what? Gone. Last year is what? Gone. All those things are dead. That is water already under the bridge. You ain't got to worry about it no more. So when Satan comes to you this next year and say, "Ooh, I remember what you did in October. I remember what you did in November. I remember what you did last 4th of July." Say, God doesn't remember it. Remind Him where He is going, not where you have been. Satan, it doesn't matter where I've been. I was forgiven for that. I asked God for forgiveness. That is wiped clean. It's separated as far as the east is from the west. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But old Lucifer, guess what? I know where you're going. I remember my yesterday, but I also think about my tomorrow. Amen. I know where you came from, Lucifer, and I know where you're going. God is going to cast you into weeping and gnashing of teeth, into a place of utter darkness. I know your future. Oh, and God knows my future. And so glory to God for that, that we can walk in the newness of life, expecting God to do great and marvelous things this next year, and anticipating Him to do in us things that only He can do. It tells us in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself as to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," that means mature and grown up, "be thus minded." And what does that mean, being thus minded? Well, remember the high calling of Christ. What are you pushing towards this next year? Keep that in the front of your mind. And continuing in that verse, "And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." So if you don't have your mind screwed on right yet, hold on. God will put you in the right mind. If you start thinking about the future, walking with Jesus Christ, He will remind you that the past is dead and you're to cling on to Him and go forward. When Israel was pressed hard by the Pharaoh when he came up behind them and they were trapped between the Red Sea and the Pharaoh's army, and the finger of God was in between them, and the Pharaoh couldn't get around, what did Moses tell the people to do? Stand still and see the power of God. And then he lifted his hand, his rod, and the sea parted, and he said, "Move forward." That's what we need to do. We need to move forward, not hold on to our last year's failings. Because I'm tired of worrying about where I failed last year. Amen. I'm looking for the victory of next year. Did I mess up? Amen. We all messed up. Well, don't get caught up in that. Don't let the Pharaoh's army catch you because you're not pressing forward. Paul said in the Philippians chapter 3, here he said, I am reaching unto the things which are before me. I'm searching. I'm going forth. I'm not worrying about those things that are behind me. In fact, he says, I forget those things that are behind me. And in verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you prepared to do that this next year? Amen? Are you prepared to do things that only God can do through you? That means you got to press in. That means you got to pack it through. You can't be concerned about how things were, where I didn't have enough, where I messed up last year. We got to have that idea that last year is dead. Amen? That last year no longer, what the things that the government did last year, who cares about that? The things that the world did last year, who cares about that? The things that I did that I messed up in last year, who cares about that? Amen? The only one who's going to remind you about that is the liar, the deceiver, Satan himself. He'll come before you and say, "Nanny, nanny, boo, boo, I remember what you did." And you say, "Ha, ha, ha, I remember where you're going. Leave me alone. Get thee behind me, Satan. And leave, don't even talk to me about that stuff. I'm going to press forward." And that's something we all need to keep in mind this year, is moving forward with Christ. Since we are all come short this past year, Paul confessed that he hadn't apprehended it. If Paul hadn't got there, and he's a lot better than me, amen? You can say amen. It's all right. Paul's better than I am. Why is he better than I am? Well, he wrote 2/3 of the Bible. He was called up to the third heaven. I ain't been there. Okay, yeah. So he's a little bit better than I am, you know. He lived a life more chaste than I have lived. He is more zealous than what I am, you know. And so not that I'm comparing myself with another man, because, I mean, I can compare myself with somebody else and look pretty short. When I compare myself to the Lord, man, I look way off base, you know. And so anyhow, but looking forward toward that, Paul said that he hadn't apprehended. That's God's perfection. We will never get there in this body. But he never quit trying. So did we mess up last year? Yeah, amen. Don't quit trying. You know, the folks who run a race and trip and fall, do they just lay there and cry, whine about it? No. They get up, they dust themselves off, and they keep going. Well, some of you might. All right, I saw the look on your face. Say, when I fell down, I just stayed down. Well, if you stay down, you'll never win the race. Amen? You'll never be able to push forward. You got to get up, knock the dirt off of you, and move forward. Where we sinned and came short of the glory of God last year, let those things pass. Okay, that's just a bloody spot on the track. All right, it's time to get up from that and move forward. Continue to push to the high calling of God. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, if then we be raised with Christ, let me ask you this, are you raised with Christ? Are you born again? You've been baptized. If you've been baptized, remember it tells us in Romans that you have been baptism. When you came up from the baptism, you were raised with Christ. Therefore, let the old stuff die. Amen? So, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, if then ye be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections, that means to set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For you are dead. Amen? You're dead to the things of the earth. You're dead to last year. Dead folks cannot hurt you. You know that? If you died, you're done. You're done. You can't cause any more problems. All right, so if Curtis is dead to the old man, that old man, unless the only one who can resurrect the mind of the old person is the person that's alive. You understand what I'm saying? Things from my past, when I had to change my testimony the way that I give my testimony several years ago, because I was glorifying the past too much. I was glorifying the alcoholism, the lack of education, the drug use, the sexual promiscuity. I was glorifying that way too much. All right, and I needed to be pointing toward Christ, not toward the things back there. See, those things are supposed to be dead. The only reason that anybody knew about that mess is I told them. I resurrected it. I brought it out. God is saying, let that stuff die. I've forgotten about it, so why are you bringing it up? Right? And so as we move forward this next year into the high calling of Christ, remember that you are risen with Christ. We're supposed to seek those things that are above, not the things that are rotting in the past, not the things of last year, but the things that are above in Christ Jesus. That we need to be pressing forward in our mind and seeking Him who sits on the right hand of God. Set my mind, my affections on the things above, not of the things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid in Christ. Glory to God. I am dead, but my life is hid in Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Absolutely. Thank you, God, that those things that are in me that do not glorify God are cast away from me. The only way that God even hears about it anymore is when I bring it before the throne. He said, I forgave you of that. He said, I buried it. I cast it into the deepest part of the sea. I don't think about that anymore, Curtis. So why are you telling me this garbage? Why are you living in the past? You're supposed to be seeking the things above. You're supposed to be seeking the high calling of Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be moving forward into the vast unknown of a righteous standing with God, stepping out in faith and seeking Him with the fullness of your heart, but you're wallowing in the mire of yesteryear. Oh, come on, Charity, we got to get out of that. We got to get out of that mindset. We got to stop worrying about the things that happened last year, yesterday. Stop beating ourselves up with the past and start glorifying Jesus Christ with the future. Amen? Because He has a plan for you, a plan to bless you, a plan to help you, not a plan to hurt you. He doesn't want to curse you. The one who curses you is the demon, Satan himself. He is the one who continually brings up all that mess from yesteryear. Oh, how depressed do we get when we only look at the things from back there? Boy, I get so messed up. I get thinking about stuff that happened way back there. And Deb will tell you, I go into some deep, dark spots in my mind from time to time. And the only thing that will get me out of that is praising God for where I am and where I'm going. If I get caught up in where I have been for too long, then the depression comes in. The nastiness, the garbage starts boiling up from the inside. A simple way to get out of that is start praising God. Not praising God for who you were, but praising God for who you are going to be. You know, we have a promise from Jesus Christ in John chapter 14. There where He is, I go to prepare you a place. Amen. And if I go to prepare you a place, then I will come again and call you to Me, that where I am, y'all can be. Those are the things that are above. Amen. Those are the things of tomorrow. Those are the things where the victory is hanging out. Man, I want to live in victory this next year. I don't want to live in the goop of last year. I don't want to be stuck in the mire of regret. I want to be lifted up and filled with the love and the grace and the power of Jesus Christ this next year. It tells us in verse 4 of the same chapter, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. That's where we're going. That's what's across the Red Sea. That's what's across this next year. That's what's across is His glory. That's what's coming tomorrow is His glory. His mercy is going to be new tomorrow morning. Are we seeking the mercy of God, church? Are we preparing our hearts for what God is doing tomorrow? Are we getting rid of our yesteryear? Are we getting rid of our past? Are we forgetting about all the things where we came up short and start truly seeking Jesus Christ with all of our heart? Oh, this is a new year tomorrow. A new leaf, so to speak, will be turning. And our heart's desire needs to be turning that new leaf towards God through Jesus Christ and by His Holy Spirit. It is time to look above for direction and to make ourselves devoted. Amen? Devoted. Who here wants an improved next year? I do. Do you want to know how to do it? It's going to take some work. It's going to take some devotion. Amen. I'm going to have to love God more than I loved whatever made me stumble last year. Okay? That sin that made me stumble last year, I have got to make my mind up. I got to make a decision that this next year, when that same sin comes around, I'm going to choose Jesus Christ. I'm going to choose the way of the Word. I'm going to choose the way of heaven. I'm not going to choose the way of the world. And I'm not going to choose the way of damnation and condemnation. And it's a choice that we got to make. When Jesus hung on the cross and He said, "It is finished," guess what? He handled the sin problem. Right then, right there, He paid it all. So why do we live in our mire? Why do we desire to eat with the swine instead of dine at the table of the Heavenly Father? He says, "I got it prepared for you, but I can't get you out of the pig mire. I can't pull you away from the world because you love the world more than you love Me. But if you'll this year, if you'll make a decision to make one step towards God," what does it tell us in James? If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Who takes bigger steps, you or God? God. Amen. Amen. So you step up to Jesus Christ this year. You step a little bit closer to your Bible. Amen. Take a little bit, instead of having this thing stuck on your nightstand all night long somewhere, or set on your coffee table, underneath your coffee table, stuck underneath a drawer somewhere, underneath your sock drawer, something like that. Pull it out. Dust it off. Open it up. See what He has for you. There's no reason we shouldn't read the Bible every single year from cover to cover. It's a simple, you know what it takes? Three chapters a day, about 25 minutes a day. 25 minutes a day, and you can read the whole Bible from cover to cover. And if you read the whole Bible from cover to cover, guess what? Next year will be better than last year. I guarantee you that if you do that this year, you set your mind to read the Word of God, all the things that God has for you will show up. If you decide to stick this back underneath your dresser drawer, You decide not to be devoted to Christ. You want to be devoted to, I don't know, Oprah Winfrey. You want to be devoted to name your soap opera. You want to be devoted to your job. There's nothing wrong with having a job. But when your job is worship more than God, then you're worshiping the wrong thing. Amen? Well, how about your family? Well, I can't read my Bible because I've got 27 kids. Well, no. Well, you do. And I say this because I have a friend, okay, Sam Hanna, had what, 10 children, 12 children, right? Had 12 kids. 12 kids. Well, actually, what their mom did, Pam, I love this lady dearly. She's a sweet saint of God. Every morning when she got up, she told the kids to leave her alone. She's reading her Bible. Leave me alone. I'm reading my Bible. You can wait. You're not going to starve to death. Leave me alone. I'm reading my Bible. So she took 30 minutes a day and she read her Bible. And then she would call her chicks together, her little hens together, and she would pray for all 12 of them before they got ready for school. Amen? What you got? Oh, yeah, she got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, you got 12 kids, you know. You can't do that in like half an hour, you know. But, you know, let me ask you this. Do you love sleep more than you love God? If God's saying, wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to read my word and pray with me, talk with me, why not? What else are you going to do? Sleep? Right? It's why do we spend most of our day sleeping? Because we stayed up all night. Well, maybe you're a night person. Well, let's turn that around. Take the last 4 hours of your evening because nothing's on TV. Amen? There ain't nothing happening at 4 o'clock in the morning on TV. You need to watch. And if you can't sleep at night, and I know a lot of folks like that, you take that time when the house is quiet because all sane people done went to sleep. Amen? No, I love you. Because it gets quiet after everybody else has gone to bed. So you're alone. You're quiet with God. You open up your Bible and you say, Lord, what do you want me to know? This is the next verse. Show me what I need to know. Talk to me, speak to me, Father, that I might adjust my life to your word. And does he not do that? Amen. I know the folks that wake up in the morning, that's me. I know the folks who wake up, stay up at night. And I know friends right here in this body right now that can't go to sleep at night. You know, they got pains. There are things that happen and they wake up in the middle of the night. Well, why? You're up. Nobody else is there. Read your Bible. Take your time. Study the word of God. Apply that to your life. Take the time that you have this year and fasten it to Jesus Christ. How about fasting? When was the last time we fasted? I mean, really, fasting, that means not eating for a period of time, if you don't know. And why would I ask you to fast? Because the Bible tells us to fast. You know what it does? It means that I have charge over this body. Because this body says, eat another Twinkie. All right? Not that I eat Twinkies. Well, have another sandwich. Do this, do that. And you say, nobody, I'm not doing that today. Nobody knows the hunger I feel. No, and you say, no. I'm keeping my flesh down. I'm controlling my flesh. All right, so I'm not going to feed you today. All right, I'm not going to do that. And listen, I'm looking at us. We're all pretty fat here, you know. I think that, and I'm talking about myself. It's not going to hurt me to miss a meal. Okay, and I fast, not trying to blow smoke up my skirt or nothing like that, but I fast several times a year. I don't look skinny, do I? No. I'm 4 foot tall, 4 foot around. You know? And so you can fast. It's not going to kill you. I tell you what, if you went to the doctor and the doctor said don't eat for 24 hours, guess what? I bet you wouldn't eat for 24 hours. How about if Jesus says, I want you not to eat for 24 hours and pray to me every time you feel the hunger pain? Would you do that? I don't know. Why not? Why not? Your great question. Why not? Why not do it? It ain't going to hurt you. In fact, it tells you if you fast for more than 3 days, I'm not saying start out that way, but if you fast for more than 3 or 4 days, your body does some really cool stuff. In itself, it rejuvenates. It kicks up things that are in your body, the cells and stuff like that. It makes them move. Cells that haven't moved in years. You don't feed them for 4 or 5 days. Well, I tell you what, they start moving. You know, I said, hey, something's changing here. I got to start pulling some of this fat off of his right thigh and living off of that. You know? Anyhow, we need to fast. You got 12 months in a year. Can you say for 12 days I'll give myself to prayer and keep my flesh at bay, keep it under control? Just 12 days a year. You ain't got to do it all at once. Once a month. That's between you and God. I guarantee you, if you do that, you will be closer to God next year at this time than you are this year at this time. You read your Bible every day, and once a month you fast. Once a month you don't eat. And I guarantee you, in 12 months' time, next year, this time, you will be a completely renewed Christian. Because you are keeping your flesh down and you're walking in the Spirit of God. I guarantee you it'll work. Micah 5, verse 8, he talks about Jehovah. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee. Who's shown you what's good and what He requires? The Lord has. How did He show it to you? Go ahead. It's my Bible. It's the book for me. Right? He told me what's right. What's wrong? He shows it to me right in His Word. He's told me what to do, what to say. He told me what He requires of me. And this is right from Micah chapter 5, verse 8. He asked us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Is that so hard? To do what's right before God? To love mercy instead of loving hatred? Instead of loving vengeance? Instead of loving nastiness? Instead of spending our time doing what the world does? Start loving mercy for a year. If a year's too much to think of it all at one time, love mercy one day a month. Amen? Walk justly one day a month. Yes. Oh, I must say, 5:8, Malachi 5:8, wrong M, Malachi 5:8. And so Malachi, thank you, I have Micah written down here, Malachi is the right spot. He says, to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Who will believe this year? Who will you believe this year? Are you going to believe your body? Are you going to believe your job? Are you going to believe your boss? Are you going to believe the government? Are you going to believe God? Who are you going to believe? Well, your walk will show it. What you do this next year will prove what you believe. Amen? Where's the proof? It's in the pudding. It's in what you do. Not what you say you believe, but what you do. God wants your tomorrows. So let's start to seek a better than last year. A better than where we have fallen. Let's start seeking Jesus Christ more and more and more this year. You see that no man can serve two masters. Jesus spoke of that. You'll either love God or you'll love money. You'll love God and His business or you'll love the world and its business. Give me a little latitude here as I read this. Look at what our love is focused on. Is it focused on Jesus? Or something that you think on. Luke chapter 9, verse 60 through 62. Let the dead bury the dead. All right? Let last year bury last year. It's dead. Let that dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. All right? There's last year. Let the dead bury the dead. Amen? But you this next year, you go preach the kingdom of God. All right, that's the latitude I'm asking for because I'm taking this a little out of context, but I want to make it where we can apply it to our day-to-day lives. He tells us that let the dead go bury the dead, but you church, you people, you preach the kingdom of God. And then another man came to the Lord and said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me bid them farewell. Let me go tell my family farewell, which are at the home at my house. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So this next year, as you're about ready to hook on to the plow, you understand they didn't have tractors back then. They had ox and mules that pulled their plows. And so when you hook onto your plow, you get yourself strapped on and you got your oxen in front of you. You get them going If you start walking back like this, that thing's going to go way off over here. And you're not fit. Why? Because you took your eye off the goal. You took your eye where you're supposed to be going. We're supposed to be seeking what? Tell me, the kingdom of what? The kingdom of God. We're supposed to be seeking the heavenly realm. We're supposed to be seeking the righteousness of God, the justice of God, the mercy of God, and do it humbly. See, when we get all caught up in other things, we take our eye off of the where we're supposed to be going. We got our hands on the plow, but we're so worried about last year. How can I move forward if I'm all concerned about last year? Folks, it's time to move forward with Jesus Christ this year. Last year is dead. It's dead with the sins. It's dead with the failings of last year. But God is not a God of the dead. Amen. He is a God of tomorrow. He's a God of the living. So let us die together, unitarily, to yesterday. And do not be tied down with your past sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you'll be free indeed." You want to be free from your past? You want to be free from yesterday? You want to be free from the mess that you caused last year? It's easy. Stop dwelling on it. Stop living there. Stop kicking yourself around for the things that you've already been forgiven for. Amen? Stop it. How are you going to go forward when you're always looking backwards? You can't. Who here drives a car? We all do. How long can you drive like this? Pretty soon you're going to run off the road or run into somebody. Amen. Well, I'm saying you're going forward. Yeah. You don't want to be in reverse doing that either. If you're in reverse, I pray that you would use your rearview mirror and learn how to back up properly. And so, anyhow, seek the things that are before you, not the things that are behind you. Remember Romans chapter 6, where it talks about being dead to sin and Christ is alive. Christ is our Savior. And He's a Savior of the living, not a Savior of the dead. Okay? Because if you are born again and you happen to die this next year, you just sleep until Christ comes back. Those without Christ, when they die, they die. All right? It's a different place that you go. Anyhow, different sermon. But Jesus, He is a living God. He is a risen Savior. The grave could not hold Him down. Last year couldn't stop Him from moving forward. I'm asking us this year to shake off the shackles, the things that would hold you down, the things that might slow you from moving forward with Jesus Christ. Shake them off. Jesus said that you are free indeed. Amen? You're free. If Christ has set you free, then you're free. You can do what He's called you to. The only thing that's stopping you from going forward is you. I can't make you do this. I will encourage you all year long to do this because that's my job. I'm an encourager. Do you feel encouraged? Get up, move, crack, crack. God wants us to move forward with Him. Not that He doesn't love you if you get caught up in your yesteryear, but He wants to bless you. And He wants to give you a newness of life. He wants you to put your hands to the plow and to be focused on the goal. Seek ye those things which are above. Amen? This next year, it's not hard to do. Take time to read your Bible. Who here thinks this is time for what they call those New Year's resolutions? New Year's resolutions. Who has one about Jesus Christ? And a lot of folks say, amen. All right. What's your New Year's resolution for Jesus? Read the Bible through. What a great resolution. What a great thing to do. If you're a baby Christian, I suggest you start in the New Testament of the book of John. Amen. Because if you start in the Old Testament, you're going to get bogged down with all the wilt thous and thuses. So start in the New Testament. Think about John. Learn about the love of God. And once you get John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all things that were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And you get that wrapped around your mind, you understand that. Then go to Genesis. In the beginning, God created. Oh, dude. See? It's a beautiful thing. The Word ties itself together. I tell you, you've heard that story. If somebody has a Bible that's well held together, then their life is probably falling apart. Amen? You're looking at my new Bible. This is a new Bible I have, you know. My tattered and torn one somewhere else. But if you see somebody with a Bible that is falling apart, the pages are ripping out, it's all marked up, it's scarred, it's covered in duct tape. Amen? That life is probably well held together. It's held together by the power that is in the Word of God. God wants you to have a new power. Deb went and got something for you tonight. It's More Precious Than Gold. It's a way to read through the Bible in a year. And it's a schedule that you can keep. And we did that as a church a couple years ago. And so, but anyhow, I don't have nothing else to say to you. I only have 3 pages. I'm done. I pray that you make a decision this year, that you, from the youngest to the oldest, that we make a decision to follow Jesus Christ this year. God's going to do something in this body. Amen? God's already done a lot of things in this body. He's prepared the foundation for a building that He's going to start building this year. I firmly believe that. I said it last year. I said it the year before. But it took a while to scrape the gunk off the ground. Amen? God had to bring in the holy bulldozers, and He had to dig down past our religious understanding and get to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He had to do some changing in me. I don't know, those who have been here day after day, week after week, and heard me preach all year, it's changed a little bit, hasn't it? I haven't said for a long time, let the door hit you where the Lord splits you. Amen? When I first started, I used to say that a lot. All right, praise God. You weren't here in those early days. I was a lot rougher than I am now. So God is growing us all in His graces. And He wants us to know Him in a real personal way. He wants us not to be bogged down by yesteryear, but press forward to the high calling of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I thank You so much for Your love, for Your grace, for Your goodness. I thank You, Father, for the new year, for the opportunity to worship You with the fullness of our heart. I pray that those that are here and they've made that confession that they want to be closer with You this next year. Holy Spirit, fill them tonight with a passion that will burn all year long. Father, thank You, Lord. Throw another log on the fire because we're going to be here for a while. Lord, help us to sit and bask in the glow of Your love. In the midst of Your grace, fill us with Your love and Your compassion. Grow us into what You would have us to be. Your people called for Your purposes, not of our own will, but of Yours. Not born of the flesh, but born of God through the Spirit of God. And we thank You for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we got a closing song?